All right, we're beginning around the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, three lines down. Itmar, here we have some unusual cases to close up the section of Pigul. And here we're dealing with whether Chutz Limkomo, Chutz Lizmano, all different manifestations and permutations, are they mitzdaref or not mitzdaref? We already know from the limud that Rava brought of Yiyah and the Pasuk that Chutz Limkomo and Chutz Lizmano are mitzdaref, lipsol et akorban. Which means that if you have a machshava of chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, chatzi zayit chutz limkomo, the two of them will be mitzdaref to be posel the korban. They won't reach the level of pigul of chutz lizmano to give you karet, because you only have a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano, but the chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo can be mitzdaref. So here you have a case of itmar, chatzi zayit chutz lizmano. He has a machshava to eat a half a zayit outside of the allotted time, chatzi zayit chutz limkomo, and then a half zayit outside of the allotted area where he's allowed to eat it, v'chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, and then has a third machshava of a chatzi zayit chutz lizmano. So over here, the question is, how are these joining together? Amar Rava, v'yikatz ki yashen. So truthfully, this is actually a quote from a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Ayin Chet, pasuk Samachay, says that Hashem, vayikatz ki yashen Hashem, Hashem will awaken from his slumber, ki gibor mitronein miyayin, like the strong and mighty ones shaking off their wine. So vayikatz ki yashen is a play on that terminology from Tehillim, which is that he awakens from his slumber, hapigul. What Rava is suggesting over here is that the chatzi kezayit of chutz lizmano up front gets together with the chatzi zayit chutz lizmano in the end, and the two of them are mitzdaref to create a kezayit worth of chutz lizmano. Even though, in the interim, there was a chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo that made it pasul in the interim. Now, the concept that would jump into your mind, and what the Baalei Tosfot would say is not happening over here, is a concept that we have an Eastern head there, and the top Tosfot says, lo shayach hocha, matzah minet mino v'ne'ur. This is a concept that we're going to get to when we're in the Chulin. We saw it a little bit in Avodah Zarah, which is that sometimes you can have an item that is batel, but then when it finds something to be mitzdaref with, it reawakens. It comes back to life, and it's mitzdaref. The Baalei Tosfot don't say anything as to why that is, but they say this case is not like that. This sounds exactly like that, which is that you have a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano that was mitzdaref to a chatzi zayit chutz limkomo, and they made the korban pasul. Then, all of a sudden, you have another chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, it reawakens, it now joins together the two chatzi zaitim of chutz lizmano, and makes it into pigul chuyub karet. Sounds exactly like that. So there's an ot lamed, you can see over here, that points you down to the shita mekubetzet, who adds one word into the Baalei Tosafot, which is de machshavot havyon. Says it's different than cases of Iser and Heter, because here we're speaking about thoughts. None of this is really true about the item. There's no real soul in the Kodoshim. You have here Basar Kodoshim. Whether it's Chutz Lizmano or Chutz Limkomo, there's a common denominator between everything you have here, which is Basar Kodoshim. And so you're not really talking about Iser and Heter in the classic sense of Iser and Heter, where you have objects that have or carry with them Isurim. Over here you're speaking about Machshavot that are impacting on Basar Kodoshim. And therefore he says it's different than your classic case of Chozer Bin Ne'ur, because here, you're dealing with machshava on a singular item, which is basar kodeshim, unlike when you're dealing with basar kasher and basar chazir, basar v'chalav, or other types of items, where there are separate isurim that you're discussing. Rav Homanon Amar, Eruv machshavot avi. He disagrees with Rava, and says that once the korban becomes pasul, you can't unwind that. Once the korban had a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano, that is mitzdaref with the chatzi kezayit of chutz limkomo, the korban is already pasul. Once it's pasul, you can't take it from being pasul, and then, in essence, erase the fact that it was pasul, and now make it into pigul and chiyub karet. Amar Rava, minaminolo. I can prove to you that I'm right about this. Did not. Because we have a Mishnah. Kebetza ochel rishon, uchebetza ochel sheni. So here we're speaking about tumat uchlim. Tumat uchlim, as you can see the Mishnah of Tarot, is determined by kebetza. We'll speak about this in more detail in a minute, but the threshold or the shi'ur that is associated with tumat uchlim is a kebetza. That's based on the pasuk in Parshat Shmini, which speaks about ochel, hanechal, that ochel that is normally eaten, and the Gemara determines that that is the size of a kebetza. So now this kavetza of ochel rishon means that it's tamei tuma, that is the level of rishon the tuma. And you have another ochel that is tamei tumat sheni, it is sheni the tuma. Shik balan ze baze. They were mixed together. Rishon, they together are considered to be a rishon the tuma. Not surprisingly, because you have here sufficient kavetza to be considered a rishon the tuma. So even if you mix a rishon and a sheni, still, a rishon and a sheni still have a rishon inside of them. So if this entire item touches something else, it'll convey tumah at the level of rishon the tumah. Chilkan. On the other hand, if you split them in half now, zesheni, bezesheni. That means each half becomes a sheni the tumah. When you split them in half, we assume that you didn't split them down the even line. And you got a kabetz of sheni and a kabetz of rishon, you have them mixed together. Balalan. They're all mixed up now. When you split them, you have less than a shiur of sheni, less than a shiur of rishon, in each half that you split. So now, it's at least a sheni the tumah, because a rishon the tumah is still also a sheni the tumah. So at minimum, you have here a sheni of the tumah, because there's a sheni the tumah, and whatever rishon is mitzdarek with it, makes it also that it's enough that you can convey tumah at the level of a sheni the tumah. Now, the deal that we're going to make out of that mishnah, hachazar v'irvan, rishon havi. If you mix them back together, they would re-elevate to a rishon l'tumah. Once you put them back together, then it makes them into a rishon l'tumah. And this is Rabba's proof, that even though what you've done here is separated them away to the point where there's not sufficient shiur here, nevertheless, when you bring them back together, then they do elevate to a rishon l'tumah. So you see here, even when something became a sheni l'tumah, because it was separated, and you bring them back together, chozer v'ne'ur, in the sense of Vayikatska Yashin, that it awakens the Rishon Letumah, and it returns to being a Rishon Letumah. The Tosafot says over here, Tema, Ma'inyan Zeh, Eitzel Zeh. What's the comparison between Tumah to a Korban? The Gabe Korban, Shemar Chatzi Yech Zayit Chutz Limkomo, V'chatzi Zayit Chutz Lizmano, Harei Kervar Nifsal Ho Korban. The Korban is already Pasul. Ve'enu Chozer Menaseh Pigol. Can't then change it back to being Pigol. V'chatzi beitza rishon, v'chatzi beitza sheni, shnit arvu, shnaseh sheni. Ain't a time l'fi shnit batel chatzi beitza rishon. It's not because the first or half the beitza disappeared. Avashim de'ein lo koach l'tam ot, bifnei atzmo. The problem is that it doesn't have sufficient amount to grant tuma or convey tuma. The deficit here when you have a half beitza of rishon and half beitza of sheni is not the fact that you have a mixture here, and therefore you can't do anything. It's because the Rishon doesn't have enough to convey at the level of a Rishon. So that's why it's downgraded to a Sheni, because that's what you have enough of to make it go forward. But it's not because the Rishon somehow now is mitzaref and joins together with the Sheni to become a Sheni. It never becomes a Sheni. It's a deficit in size. As soon as it finds sufficient amount to make it into a full beitza, then it'll convey tuma. It says, I don't understand the correlation between the two cases, that which Rav is bringing, and the case of Korban. The problem by the Korban is that you have a chatzi zayit of pigul, and then a chatzi zayit of kutzlim kamal. When they're mitztaref, they become a full kazayit of psul. But then not that there's a chatzi zayit of pigul left, you now have a full kazayit of psul that's here. Unlike the tuma, where you had a chatzik beitza of Rishon and a chatzik beitza of Sheni, the problem with the Rishon is not that it's now batel to the Sheni, it's just that it lacks the shiur to convey the tuma at its level. So then we say it at least conveys tuma at the level of the Sheni, but not that they're batel one to the other. By Korban, you've actually changed status. You've gone from being chutz lizmano, chutz limkamo, and generated an entity that is now pasul. That's what happens when you bring them together. Then you want to change that to pigul afterwards? That's taking something that was pasul and making it into pigul. Over here, nothing ever changed. The rishon l'tumah remained the rishon l'tumah. The reason it doesn't convey it as a rishon l'tumah is just because there's not enough of it. Once you bring them together, there is sufficient size. So here, the Keren Ora says that the cases are actually the same. The truth is, the reason that you don't have pigul over here is because the chatzi zayit chutz lizmano didn't have sufficient shiur to make it into pigul. We say that the korban is pasul. That doesn't mean that the chatzi zayit of pigul goes away, of chutz lizmano goes away. It's just that in the interim, now you have two chetzim zeitim of something that can be mitzdareif, or what you have to say is that subsumed within pigo or chutzus mano is also pasul. It's pasul with a chiyuv karet on top of it. And so that's the same concept, that the chatzik zayit of chutzus mano is still in existence, it just doesn't have enough shiur to make it a chayav karet. So in the interim, with a chutzlim komo, it is at least pasul in chutzus mano, so there'll be mitzdareif to make it pasul. Once you find the other chatzik zayit of zmano, it will be mitzdareif to make it chayav karet, but not that the pigo disappears in the interim. The chutzlim komo comes in and makes it pasul, not because necessarily they're mitzdareif, and they become a single entity. It's just, again, the same logic you could dictate over here. The Kazayat Chutzlis Mano didn't have sufficient shiur. Once the sufficient shiur shows up, then we make it into Chutzlis Mano. In the interim, just like the case of Tuma, in the interim, the Sheini and the Rishon created Sheini. So to here, in the interim, the Chutzlim Kumo, Chutzlis Mano, create a Pasul, but not that it's a change in entity. And therefore, the Karen Arad says, he thinks the cases are similar, or in answering Tosafot's question, as to why these are actually comparable cases. Now, Mimahai, how do I know, or how can I prove to you that I'm right about this? Miktani Seifa. Because the latter half of that Mishnah says, Nofel Zebe Atzmo, V'Zebe Atzmo, Al-Kikar Shel Truma, Paslua. That if each one of these items falls independently on a Kikar Shel Truma, they make it Pasul. Remember that in levels of Tuma, Chulin ends at Sheni the Tuma. Truma has one extra level of Tuma called Shlishi le Tuma. As I've discussed before, the difference between being tamei and pasul is, something that is tamei means that it accepts tuma and it can convey tuma forward. Pasal or pasul means that it's reached the end of its line, it's the final level of tuma in this category. So if you say, a kikasha tuma pasulua, that means that they made the kikar into a shlishi the tuma, which is the last level of tuma in truma. But now, based on that, you know that when they fell independently, these two halves of the Tuma, I just said before, each one of them is a Sheni the Tuma. So if one falls, it makes the Kikar into a Shlishi. If the other one falls also, it's going to make it into a Shlishi. Now, Falushnim Ke'achat, if they both fall together, and as Rashi notes over here, they don't have to literally fall together, they can fall in a way that when the first one's still there, the second one falls. Because now, Asua Shnia, they elevated the Kikar Truma to a Sheni the Tuma. It's no longer Pasul, which is a Shlishi the Tuma, but it is Sheni the Tuma. It is now Tamei, because what we assume, and this is what Rava's proof is, the two halves come together now, and they generate a Rishon the Tuma. Ravuna Amar, so how does Ravuna deal with this proof of Rava that's brought from the Mishnah and Tarot? Hotam Ika Shiura, Hocha Leka Shiura. It's a big difference between the cases. Rashi explains it in the following manner. Rashi says that in the case of Tarot, you had a Rishon Letumah at the outset. You had something that was a Rishon Letumah, then was split and lost its shame, Rishon Letumah, and later on it's rejoined to regain its original status. So when you're returning something to its original status, then you could speak about breaking it up and bringing it back together, or by Yakatz Ki Yashem. On the other hand, in our case by the Korban, it was never Pigul up front. It wasn't any entity of Pigul that got split up and then was rejoined. From the outset, it was Chaser. It only had a Chatzi Zayit. There was never any entity of Pigul in the outset for it to return or to reawaken to be Pigul again. That's how Rashi explains this line in the Gemara. The Baalei HaTosafot bring Rashi's explanation, and Rabbeinu Tam is somewhat circumspect about it because he says that the language of the Gemara doesn't really fit that, which is that it should have said it in the past tense, not Ika Shira and Leka Shira, which seems to be in the present tense. It should have said in the past tense that Have Shira, it had a Shiur in the past. That's what Rashi is saying. Since it had a Shiur originally, then when you break it up and bring it back together, it returns to the original state. But not that currently there's something about it. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam offers an alternative, U'mafresh Rabbeinu Tam, Ika Shiura Shiesh Min HaSheni Kishiur. So the Rabbeinu Tam says something very interesting in molecular biology. You have a concept like this, which is when you have elements that are bonding together, then they separate and bond when they can find other things to bond with. And so what the Rabbeinu Tam says is, the reason in the case by Tuma it works is because you have a half shiur of Rishon and a half shiur of Rishon. But you also have a half shiur of Sheni and a half shiur of Sheni. So the Sheni releases the Rishon to go back together with the Rishon because it has something to do. It connects with its own Sheni. So there you have a chatzi shiur rishon, chatzi shiur sheni, and the other entity has chatzi shiur rishon and chatzi shiur sheni. So when they get together, the rishons connect and the shenis connect. So the sheni is willing to release the rishon because it has something to connect with. It has the sheni to connect with. In our case, that's not true. In the case of the korban, you have a chatzi zayit zmano, chatzi zmayit chutzlim komo. If the chutzlim zmano releases the chutzlim komo and joins the other chatzi zayit of chutzlim zmano, the chutzlim komo is left hanging. It doesn't have anything to connect with. And so therefore, you don't allow that to happen. And that's the distinction according to the Rabbeinu Tam, is that you have to have alternatives available for them to be mitzareif. You can't just drop something in the middle of the air and say, oh, you don't matter anymore. If you're bonding, it only releases if it has somewhere else to go or something else to be mitzareif with. And so that's how he explains this distinction that's drawn by Rav Amnuna. Now Rav Amnuna himself brings a proof. I'm Rav Amnuna. I'll prove to you that I am correct. The Tanan, Rav Mishnah in Tarot, that says, Ochel shenitma ba'avatuma. If Ochel that became Tamei with an avatuma, v'shenitma bivlad hatuma. And you have another Ochel that became Tamei bivlad hatuma, which means a Rishon hatuma. So Ochel that became Tamei with avat hatuma is now a Rishon hatuma. And something that became Tamei bivlad hatuma means a Rishon hatuma touched it, it became a Sheni hatuma. They join together, give off the tuma, convey the tuma based on the lower of the two. Because the lower of the two is the common denominator between them. A rishon the tuma obviously subsumes within it a sheni the tuma. So if you have a rishon and a sheni that are joining together, at minimum they are a sheni the tuma. Because a rishon is both a rishon and a sheni, and the sheni is a sheni, so they come together to kal shmeneihem. So my love, what would you conclude from this? Afagav dehader malyo. Even though afterwards you go on and add on to more of the rishon netuma, nevertheless, they still are mitzareif l'kal shmeneihem. Once they are bonded together, they don't release each other, and therefore even if you add rishon netuma afterwards, doesn't make a difference. The question is, how does he know that from the Mishnah? It might be from the diuk of mitzareifim zeim zeh. The mitzareif means not just simply that they are joining together in terms of tuma, to convey tuma. Starfim sounds like they're bonded together. They become a single entity, and that single entity can't be broken up. And that's why he suggests over here, Afagav dehav dermalyo. Where it says, no, tuma deloha dermalyo. Maybe it's only in a case where they didn't add on afterwards. Had they added on rishon the tuma afterwards, ein ochanami, it would have reawakened the rishon the tuma, and it would have become a rishon the tuma. So you don't have any proof from that. That means that both Rava and Rav Amnuna, who brought proofs from Mishnayot and Tarot, we dismiss both of those proofs. And that means that we have a machloket amuraim, and neither of them can necessarily, with a definitive sense, prove that their position is correct. Now, one sidebar over here, Rashi asks a question about the kibetza over here. Rashi says, if the item became tamei and then is now going to convey tuma, in order to accept tuma, don't you have to be the size of a kibetza? We said before that the threshold for tuma tuchlim is a kibetza. So if it was the size of a kibetza when it accepted tuma, then how did it all of a sudden not become a kibetza when it's conveying tuma? The Mishnah seems to indicate that you have a kibetza. You have something that became tamei through tuma tamei, something that became tamei through rishon the tuma, and now they're mitzareif together. And now we're saying that together with each of them a chatzi shiur gets to a shiur of a kibetza. But how do they become tamei if they weren't a kibetza size to start with? So Rashi over here establishes a principle which is very important with regards to tumat ochlim and is not muskam lakol. Even Rashi himself is soter himself in a number of places in Shas, does not agree with this. Rashi over here says that when it comes to accepting tuma, ochlim can accept tuma at any size. To accept tuma, you don't need a minimum threshold of a kibetza. Even a mashu of ochel accepts tuma. To convey tuma forward, you need a minimum of a kibetza. So in that way, Rashi solves the problem over here, which is that the acceptance of tuma is done at a lower level. So accepted tuma at half a kibetza. Then you have a half kibetza of rishon, half a kibetza of sheni. They accepted tuma because that's not a requirement of a minimum shiur to accept tuma. Then they come together to convey tuma, that you do have a minimum shiur of a kibetza. That's what Rashi says here is the solution. And many rishonim believe that that is the rule with regards to tumat uchlim. Rashi himself, in many places in Shas, says this as well, but there are a number of places where he disagrees with that, and he has the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is hinted to in the Balei HaTosafot over here. He says, "The Perish Rabbeinu Tam, she perashti, lo tzricha l'ma she perish bakuntris." According to what I said in the Rabbeinu Tam, you don't need what Rashi says over here. The ochel mekabel tumah bekoshu. The Rashi says ochel mekabel tumah bekoshu. Ferachti beperka matzniyah. You want to see that? Take a look in the Gemara in Shabbat, where I spent a lot of time on this. And there the Rabbeinu Tam espouses his shita, which is that ochel needs a kabeitza to accept tumah, and it needs a kabeitza to convey tumah. Threshold of a kabeitza is determined both in the ability to accept and to convey tumah. Again, I mentioned the Rashi in a number of places also does say that. And he explains this Gemara over there as being a case where they accepted tumah as the size of a kabeitza, and then it diminished. It became less afterwards. And you can see that in the Shita Mekubetz Odalid, where he says, the paper show, Necha Dololam, you broke a shiur mi kara, achi nid ma baba tumah, that originally it had a shiur, when it became to maybe tumat abba tumah, shechil kan. So then it got divided up, or it reduced the shiur to the point where it was a chatsi beitza, that he divided up. That wasn't enough to convey tumah, and then they joined together, chatsi beitza of the rishon, the chatsi beitza of the sheni together. But originally there was a shiur of a kabeitza in order to accept that tumah. So it just comes up with the echitimtza that over here, they accepted tumah to kabeitza, and then it lost that status, or that level of a kabeitza, and that's how you explain the Gemara over here. The Gemara continues and says, Tiata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar chatzi zayit chutz limkomo, chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, tani bar kapara pigul. So he brings a case differentiated from that of Rava, by which here the order of the psulim is different. Yeah. In this case, you have a chatzi zayit chutz limkomo up front, and then you have two chatzi zayitim chutz lizmano in his makshava. Suppose the Rava's case where he has chatzi zayit of zmano, interrupted by a chatzi zayit of mikomo, and then chatzi zayit of zmano over here, the two chatzi zayitim of chutz lizmano are adjacent to each other, those makshavot. They are preceded by a makshava of chutz limkomo, but afterwards they are a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano and chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano. On that we have tani bar kapara pigul bein pigul. So then we have a mesorah from Eretz Yisrael that bar kapara says that is considered to be pigul and your chayav karet. You look in the Shita Mekubetzet in Od Hei, Tiata Rav Dimi, Ki Rav Hamnuna Svirle. He holds like Rav Hamnuna. He does not hold like Rav over here. He holds like Rav Hamnuna. And it'll become more obvious from the next Mesorah that we bring down, which argues on this first Mesorah, that they're clearly trying to say this within the position of Rav Hamnuna. They're limiting the scope of Rav. So they're saying Rav is right, but in very limited sense. And that means it's Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says that generally we do not say that it's Mitzdareif. Once the chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo come together, you can't unwind them. There are exceptions to that case. The exception that Rav Dimi brings is when you have chutz limkomo first, then chutz lizmano, chutz lizmano. Since the two chutz lizmanos were adjacent to each other, they happened in a sequence together, they are mitzdareif together. Ein chatzi zayit moyo b'mkom kezayit. The chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo can't stand up to the full kezayit of chutz lizmano. So that's the explanation of Tani Bar Kapari. Now that is still a little bit more precarious, because you still had a chutz limkomo first, and then you had a chutz limkomo, and then a chutz lizmano. Those two should have been mitzdareif before you ever had the third makshava of chutz lizmano. So then we have an alternative. So that leads into Kiata Ravin, Amar chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, chatzi zayit chutz limkomo, tani bar kapara pigul. So there, in chatzi zayit moil b'makom kizayit. So here it's a much more obvious case. And this makes a lot of sense, and Rav Nuna would agree here, is that if you have a half kezayit of chutz lizmano, and then another half kezayit of chutz lizmano, they're mitzdareif together. Then when the chatzi zayit chutz limkomo comes, it's meaningless at that point in time, because you already have a full kezayit of chutz lizmano. Now, even though we know that alternate makshavot undermine, and they ruin the pigul in the sense that it won't be chayav karet, only pasul, nevertheless, the last makshavot was only a chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo. So even though they are mitzdareif, that's true only when there is a void. Meaning that if you have a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano and chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo, you have a void. You have a vacuum there by which each one of them is not a full shiur. So then they get together to make it pasul. But if you already got two chatzi zayitim of chutz lizmano together and you have a full kazayit, that chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo is not going to be mitzdareif to make it into one and a half. It's one and a half now, not one and a half. And that makes a difference that it will remain pigul and chiyuv karet, but it will not become pasul. Now here, you can see that Ravin is obviously narrowing again the scope of the chiddush here of Tani Bar Kapara, because he's saying that Rav Hamnuna will admit in certain cases that the chutzlis mano can create a barrier to the chutzlin kamo b'mitzareich. But it's only true if it happened up front. It's not if it happened in the back end. And that was the way Ravin brought it. Ravin brought, okay, you have a zayit, kazayit together, that blocks the chatzi zayit chutzlin kamo. But nevertheless, the chatzi zayit chutzlin kamo came first. And so that's why you have the alternate view of Ravin, which seems to narrow the scope of it. And again, the Shita Mekubetz says it's all happening within the position of Rav Amnuna. Rav Ashi matni hachi. Rav Ashi has what, according to Rashi, is the biggest finish over here. He takes Rava, and he upgrades Rava even to a step higher, which is chatzi zayit chutzlin kamo. He first has a makshova of a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano, and then after that he has a makshova of kazayit chetzio chutz limkamo v'chetzio chutz lizmano. On a full kazayit, he has half about chutz limkamo and half about chutz lizmano. So Rava had them be discrete objects. He had three discrete makshavot. He had one makshova which was chutz lizmano. Then he had one makshava of chutz l'mkomo. Then he had one makshava of chutz l'zmano. Each one of them a chatzi kazayit. Rav Ashi takes it up a step and says, you had a first makshava of chatzi zayit chutz l'zmano. Then you had another makshava that included two chatzi kazayitim in one shot. About one kazayit, you had in mind that this kazayit will be half for chutz l'mkomo and half for chutz l'zmano. So now you don't have three discrete thoughts. You only have two discrete thoughts. Yet, Rav Ashi is willing to say there, even in that second discrete thought, where you combine the chutz limkamo and the chutz lizmano together, we still don't say that that becomes one unit. We allow the chutz lizmano to detach and connect with the original chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, and makes it into pigul v'chayav karet. And so that's what the chiddush of Rav Ashi is, and you can see that in Rashi. He says, Garoba svirle v'adifa. And he's even greater than Rav Ashi mi deroba, tishmain and rabuta. He has a huge chiddush. Even though he had in mind, in one shot, to express the chatzi zayit of chutz limkamo and chutz lizmano together in a single kazayit, tzurfan bisfatav the kazayit, and he joined them together to a single kazayit, nevertheless, that chatzi zayit of lizmano breaks away and joins the original chatzi zayit chutz lizmano. So according to Rashi, Rav Ashi is the biggest chiddush over here. He's elevating, he's taking it a step up, and saying that we have here the ability to be mitzdarif, even though you only have two diburim that are being stated over here. Now, the Sfat Emet disagrees, and says that it's a possibility that Rav Ashi is not such a big chiddush, and that's because, as opposed to the case of Rova, where you had chatzi zayit zmano, chatzi zayit mimkomo, chatzi zayit zmano, there you had three discrete steps. So there was time for the chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano to join with the chatzi zayit of chutz limkamo. And then he says afterwards, that it's awoken and then it returns the two together. Over here, by the case of Rav Ashi, that's just not the case. You had a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano, and then the two other chatzi zayitim happen simultaneously. He brings them in a single dibura, like Rashi says, but they come together. And when they come together, then matzah minat mino. The chatzi zayit and the chatzi zayit zmano joined together. But it's not that he had an interim stage where he had chatzi zayit zmano, chatzi zayit mimkomo. Now you're trying to unwind that. When the chatzi zayit mimkomo and zmano come together, they come jointly together to come and attach to that other chatzi zayit. So Sfat Emet sees it as not being as great a chiddush, but a lower chiddush than Rava. Whereas Rashi here says that it is a greater chiddush. And the Sfat Emet goes as far as to say that even Rav Amnuna would agree in this case. Because over here, they Machshevet chutz lizmano and chutz limkamo, they're coming in to be mitzdareif, happen simultaneously. And in that case, even Rav Nuna agrees, common isura will be attracted to each other, and the chutz lizmano and chutz limkamo will be mitzdareif over there, because you don't have a case of vayikatz ki yashen. Alright, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Hishev shiochlu klabim. He had in mind that it should be eaten by dogs, lemachar, which means chutz lizmano, pigul. That does create pigul. So that's an amazing statement over here. You don't have to have it that you have in mind that human beings will eat it for the achila. Even if you have in mind that dogs will eat it, that's considered to be chud machshevet chutz lizmano, dichtiv. Because it says in the pasuk, v'tizevo yochlu aklavim, the nevuah of Eliyahu coming to fruition by which the body of Izevo will be thrown out, she will not meet a burial, and the dogs will eat the flesh of Izevo. So here the nevuah comes true, but it says, yochlu aklavim. So you see that the verb achila is also used with regards to dogs, and so that's considered to be in achila. Now, the Balei Tosafot point out, that's not a big chiddush. It says, Hapshitale, the Shaykhale Gabei Behema, the Davararu Oila. Kiritiv Tiekot Watkalecho. When they talk about animals, of course it's called Achila. Just like human beings, when they eat, it's called Achila. When animals eat, which is befitting to them, it's also called Achila. The chiddush over here is that, Ela Mechilat Basar Maiti Raya. The point here is that when dogs eat meat, it's still called Achila. And so that's what it means over here. The chiddush over here is that when they eat flesh, when they eat meat, that's called achila. It's not only when your dog eats whatever dogs normally eat, but nevertheless, he says the chiddush here is that eating of basar is called achila. Therefore, the consumption of a korban, if you have in mind that a dog will eat the korban, that's called achila. And remember, the pasuk says b'shtei achilot, achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. This will have the same status as achilat adam. The Balei Tosafot are perplexed by this because he says. On Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, he says, "Sof Kol Apsulim." At the end of the next parak, Amrina Dechishev Shiochlu Tmeim Lo Avi Pigul. If you had in mind for Tmeim to eat it, those that were Tamei to eat it, Chutz Lizmano, it's not Pigul. But Zarech Lefereish Tama My Garam Achilat Klavim. How is that any worse than dogs eating it? I mean, that why is it that Tmeim, who are disqualified from eating the Korban because they are Tmeim? So why is it when you have in mind that Tmeim should eat the Korban, that's not called Pigol when you have in mind that they eat it Chutz Lizmano? But if you have in mind that a dog will eat it Chutz Lizmano, that is considered to be Pigol. Why is a dog any better than a Tmeim? They're both disqualified from eating the Korban. So why should one create Pigol and the other one not create Pigol? So if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet over here in Otvov, he says, Ve'ish Lamar brings the answer that the Balei Tosafot and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph bring, which is Ve'ish Lamar, the shiny Tmeim sheposlim kodem achila b'negia. The problem with the Tmeim is they touch the Korban before they eat it. So if they touch the Korban before they eat it, they're going to make the Korban into a Korban pasul before they ever consume it. So you have a problem now, because your Makshava is going to generate a situation, even though this never happens, it's all Makshava. But your machshava for Tmeim to eat it means that by definition the Korban will be pasul before they ever eat it. And that's why it's not considered to be an achila. Because they'll be paselet kodem achila, benigia. Even though you can have your friend feed it to you and stick it down your throat so it won't become Tmei before you consume it, ain derech achila bakach. That's not the normal way people consume things or eat things. And therefore, if you have in mind about the Tmeim, it's different than the Klavim. The Kavim will never change the status of the Korban. The Korban will be a Korban. They are psulim, eating the Korban, but they're still eating it as a Korban. But the Tmeim will disqualify the Korban or invalidate the Korban before they ever come to eat it. And therefore their Achila is not considered to be an Achila. That's one answer. That's what the Balei Tosafot would say on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Viriva perish, to the Kaman enu barak litchot, that the Gemara over there in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph is just trying to dismiss Rayato Sharova. But in the end, what Rav Chista said was not dismissed. So if Rav Chista's words are not dismissed, then when we try to dismissal of the dismissal, then that's no meaning. And so the Gemara tried, but in the end it wasn't successful, and therefore the Gemara is just proposing an answer which doesn't stand in the end. And therefore in the end, Tmeim would also be psulim. That's what the Riva says. That Tmeim would also be problematic in terms of Pigol. But then you have a third answer, which he brings over here in the name of the Tosfot Marab. When Tmeim are eating it, you don't control it. Therefore, it's not a machshava. But the ability of klavim to eat it is in your control. You can control the fact that the dog eats it. You can feed it to the dog, and he will eat it. On the other hand, human beings, you can feed it to them. Doesn't mean they're going to eat it. You don't have control over the fact that they will eat it. Now, the truth is that the Gemara says that if you have a machshava for someone else to eat it, it is also pigol and chiyuv karet. So over there, you also don't have control of the other people, yet it's still being pigol. You have to differentiate between tmeim and people over here. Normal person, you're right, you may not control their ability to eat it, but they're not disqualified from eating it. Over there, the tmeim are disqualified from eating it. Who says that you can control the fact that they're going to eat it, even though they are a tmei? And so because of that factor, you are not able to force or assume that achila will take place because they are tmeim. That's why it has become pigol when ochu tmeim, whereas by klavim, it is because you can make the dog eat the food, and therefore he will be forced to eat the korban, and that is an achila or machshevet achila. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. If you think that el me'ato, you're telling me that the word achila, when it appears as a verb in Tanakh, That then tells you something about the item. Chishev shetochlu esh lemachar. Keep in mind that the fire should consume it tomorrow. I mean, it's some pyre that you have in your backyard is going to consume the basar. Chutz lizmano, dichtiv. The pasuk in Iyov says, kol choshech tamun litzbunav. That utter darkness waits for his treasured ones. Te'achleu esh lonupach. It'll be consumed by a fire that is not fanned. Yeira sarid ba'oholo. And whoever survives in his tent, bad or evil will befall him. But there you see that the word achila is associated with esh, because it says, te'achleu esh lonupach, hachanami dipigol, it's a great pigol. V'chitema hachanami, why not? Yeah, maybe that is true. Hatnan, don't we have our Mishnah saying, lechol kechatzi kazayit, v'laktir kechatzi kazayit kasher, she'en achila v'aktara mitzterfim. We said in our Mishnah, the chatzi zayit of achilat adam, and the chatzi zayit of achilat mizbeach, are not mitzareit, because one is achilat mizbeach, one's achilat adam. Wait, achilat mizbeach is achilat esh. If you're telling me that the achilat akelim is called achilah, why not say the same thing about achilat mizbeach? It says, in Okanami, ida afko b'loshon achilah. Had he expressed it as an achilah, hachanami would have worked. Achav ma'iskin on the Mishnah is a case of afko b'loshon akhtara. B'loshon achilah l'chud, b'loshon akhtara l'chud. It depends on how you express the terminology or the verb that is used here. If you express it as achilah, and you're talking about esh, in Okanami they would be mitzareit. Achilat adam and achilat esh will be mitzareit as long as you use the same verb, which is achilah. The pasuk says, b'shtei achilot, hakatuv midaber, echad achilat adam, echad achilat mizbeach. So that separates them if they are not deemed to be the same achilah. But if you use the verb achilah, they will be mitzareit. If you use the term haktara, they will not be mitzareit. So haktara l'chud, achilah l'chud. But if you use the word achilah, in Okanami, achilat esh and achilat adam, achilat kelev, they're all in the same category and they all will generate pigul, even though they are not the exact same thing. Haftara is, it's a world on its own. Shtei achilot, that's achilat mizbeach, which is separate because you're talking about haftara and not about achila in that case. What you can be medayik from here, just as a side, is the afka b'lashon, that he expressed it in the following language. We know here we're speaking about machshevet pigul. And yet the Gemara says, the afka b'lashon, that he's articulating it. This is another rayo that the Rishonim bring, that when you have machshava in kodeshim, it really means articulation and not just a machshava. Boi Ravashi. So Ravashi has a question. It might make a difference whether it's Ravashi or Ravasi. The other gear says Ravasi. Chishev lechol kezayit b'shnei bnei adam mahu. If he had in mind that it will be consumed by two individuals machar, what is the din? Baltar machshava azlina. Do we go after the person who's having the machshava diika shiura, that he has a shiur, because he thought about a single kezayit that will be eaten tomorrow, chutz lizmano. The number of consumers, irrelevant. Because about this korban, there was a kezayit of a problematic machshava about this korban. Obatar ochlim azlinan. Or do we go after the consumers of the korban? Veleka shiura. Because each one of them is going to eat a half of this kezayit. I mean, it doesn't have to exactly be a half, but each one of them is going to eat less than a shiur of a kezayit. And maybe that's important. So what is important here? Is it the fact that there's a machshava about this particular korban? In that case, you have a full kezayit. Or is it important that you have an achilah, or machshava about an achilah, that is of that threshold of a kezayit, that you lack, because each individual is not consuming a kezayit worth of the korban? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, we can bring a proof from our Mishnah, Tashma, lecho kechatzi zayit, ulehaktir kechatzi kezayit kasher, she'en achilah v'akter amitztarfim. Mishnah says that, if you have in mind to eat a chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, and have in mind to be maktir on the mizbeah chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, they are not mitzareif. The korban is totally kasher. There's no psul over here because you don't have anything to be mitzareif. You can't be mitzareif to create chutz lizmano. You can't be mitzareif to have a psul because they're in different worlds. You have haktara and achilat adam. Ha! But what you can be midayik out of this is lechol ve'lechol. That if it was eating and eating, dumia de lechol aktir, similar to the case where you're eating and you're being maktir, hey, chidomi, what's the case like that? Shnei bnei adam mitzareif. Case where it's two people who are eating it, it would be mitzareif. Shma mino. Maybe you would conclude that it is mitzareif. But Abaye points out is the deficit in the Mishnah is the achila and the haktara. That's what the deficit is. The deficit is not the chatzi zayit and chatzi zayit, because what does the Mishnah give as the neimuk, as the explanation for it? She'ein achila v'haktara mitztarfim. They don't say because ein chatzi zayit v'chatzi zayit mitztarfim. That's not what they say. They say the problem is that it's achila and haktara. The diuk you would make out of that is if it was achila and achila, that would work, even though they were shnei chatzi zaytim. And therefore he proves that if you have shnei b'nei adam, then it will be mitztarif, or in essence, the machshova that you have is now an a korban of a kezayit, and that is problematic because you have now two achilot that can join together. Those two achilot make it that there's a kezayit worth of problem with this korban that makes it into pigul v'chiyuv karet. So boy Rova. So now Rova asks a question, and this is going to go back to what I mentioned before, the Gerson in the previous statement is somewhat important. So Rova asks a question. The person has in mind to eat the kezayit chutzlis mano, but in a longer time than kedei achilat pras. Mao, what's the din? Achilat gevoa midamin and lay. We compare it to normal consumption of gevoa. Now, consumption of gevoa means God's consumption. God's consumption is when it ends up on the mizbeach, on the pyre on the mizbeach. The pyre on the mizbeach doesn't have any requirement of kedei achilat pras. So maybe over here too, when it comes to machshava with regards to the korban, there's no limitation or no qualification of kedei achilat pras. Oh. Or do we compare it to a lay person? Anywhere else in a walkah, when you have a requirement of achilah, whether achilat isur or achilat mitzvah, there is a requirement of kedei achilat pras. It's only classified as achilah. For instance, on Yom Kippur, it's only considered to be a achilah. If you do it in the kedei achilat pras, you do it within that threshold of time. That's why someone who's a chuleh on Yom Kippur, if we can, we spread out the eating over Yom Kippur so that they have less than a shiur each time. They give a gap in time in order to solve that problem. Or in the case of achilat matzah, when you're doing the mitzvah of eating matzah, we want you to consume it in the time period of kedei achilat pras. That is the threshold for achilah, both for isur and for mitzvah. So to over here, it's no different. The qualification over here is you need achilah. And that achilah is defined by achilah in the whole Torah kula. Therefore, you need kedei achilat pras. Problem you have over here is, didn't we just answer that question? Rav Ashi's question already asked this. He said, if you have two different individuals eating a chatzi kezayit, can they be mitztaref? If you have two different people eating, you never necessarily have a kedei achilat pras. You speak about it, an individual is eating it, or an individual who will eat it, you could speak about a threshold of kedei achilat pras. If you have two different people eating it, there's no guarantee. And is there even meaning to the fact that there is kedei achilat pras? So didn't we just answer this question when we answered the question of Rav Ashi? Why is then Rova posing the same question again or looking for an answer? So many point out that if you have the girsa of Rav Ashi before, then that's not a problem. Because Rova is 2-3 generations before Rav Ashi. That means Rova's question was first. And we'll see that the answer to Rova's question doesn't necessarily give you an answer to Rav Ashi's question. The order of the Gemara was changed. They put Rav Ashi before Rova. But in terms of chronology, Rova's question preceded that of Rav Ashi. The other hand, if you have the Girsa of Rav Ashi, that may be more difficult, depending which Rav Ashi. Likely that Rav Ashi was before Rova. Then what you have to say is that Rova didn't hear the answer of Rav Ashi. He wasn't aware of that question. Therefore, he posed this question independently. Or the other possibility is that to views the questions as an imtim salomar, which means that if you are coming to a conclusion about Shnei B'nei Adam, that they are not mitztaref, then imtim salomar, they're not mitztaref, then what do you do over here when you have one person? Does it have to be b'gdei achilat pras, or does it not have to be b'gdei achilat pras? And so in that way, you could solve the problem of saying, why is it that Rov is asking a question that seemingly was previously answered? Rather, he's using this as a building block, a nested question, saying, if you come to that conclusion, then the following question then would be presented. And obviously that would then have nafkaminot as to what the conclusion of the Gemara is on the previous case. Similarly, Abayi brought a proof, the fact that Shnei Bnei Adam are mitztarfim. But if you say that Rova's question is an imtim salomar, then imtim salomar means that the Gemara's conclusion, or generally we follow that conclusion of the imtim salomar, that means that the conclusion of the Gemara would be that Shnei Bnei Adam are not mitztarfim, because Rova poses a question within that answer of Shnei Bnei Adam are not mitztarfim. Amar Abayi. Again, Abayi tries to bring a proof. Tashma, lechol kechatzi zayit, ulaktir kechatzi zayit, kasher she'en achila v'aktara mitztarfim. Same answer that he brought for Rav Ashi, he brings over here for Rova. another good indication that there's some commonality between the two of them. Taima de lechol ulaktir, the reason or the problem, as I noted for you before, the Mishnah says the problem is that achila aktara are not mitzareif. Ha, lechol, velechol, mitzareif. But had it been that he was going to eat it and eat it, it would be mitzareif. Vaha, when you compare achila and achila to achila and haktara, v'haktara biyoter mekde achila prasu, when it comes to achila of the mizbeach, we already noted, that is more than kde achila pras. So the scenario in the Mishnah is, you have a chatzi zayit of achila and a chatzi zayit of haktara. And we say, that's the problem, because there you have achila and haktara. Had it been achila and achila, paralleling that case, it would have worked. Now if you parallel that case, the chatzi zayit is one achila, the chatzi zayit that parallels with haktara is yoter mikde achila pras. Yet we still say it is mitzareif. The Gemara says, Dilma v'hesek gadol, who says that the haktara has to be more than kdei achilat pras? That's dependent on the strength of the pyre. If you have a very hot and strong pyre, then it's going to burn it in kdei achilat pras. If you have a weak fire, it'll take longer. So you can't prove anything from the haktara as to whether it's more than kdei achilat pras, less than kdei achilat pras, you just don't know. And it could be that it was less than kdei achilat pras, and that's the case where achilat achilat mitzareif. Therefore, you don't have no proof in terms of Rova's case over here. Tosfot over here at the beginning says, Ba'ayi brings two diukim out of that lechol aktir. How do you know that either of them is correct? Each one that you tell me, I can tell you the other one is correct, or the other one is the diuk. How do you know that these diukim are right? V'yesh lomar, and this is what I've emphasized all along, that the daif mit the tali daima, the diuk out of these, all these diukim are correct, because the Mishnah gives the reason of the psul. She'en aktara v'achila mitztarfim. Dimshum d'hai achila v'hai aktara. The problem here is inherently the fact that one is achila and one is aktara. Icha shiva haktara k'achila haba mitzareif. But if the aktara was deemed to be achila, it would have worked. And so therefore you can be medayik all of these things out of there, not just one, or you can't say, well, do this one, do that one. Every one of them is correct. Because the psul, or the problem here, is that it's achila and aktara. If it was anything else, achila and achila, or aktara, aktara, it would work. And that's why Avai is able to be medayik numerous items out of here. And Shita Megubetza just adds, Veshlamar, the Svoru, Kevish Yesh Ledokte, Kolehani Rebutot, Ile Didakina, Komash Efshar Ledayik. When you have a chance to be medayik, we take it all the way to the nth degree. As much as you can be medayik out of something, you will be medayik out of it. And that is, he adds on to the reasoning behind the Baliat Svoru over here. Nechol Kechatzi Zayit Doktir, Kechatzi Zayit Kasher. So this is the part of the Mishnah we've quoted numerous times here from Avai. Taima de lechol ulaktir. Again, the reason and the nimuk that's given by the Mishnah is because there's no tziruf of achila baktara. Ha, lechol, ulechol, dovar she'ein dako lechol, mitzareif. Had you been mitzareif, something that you would eat, and something that you would normally not eat, they would be mitzareif. What the Gemara is saying over here is the problem is achila and haktara. By definition, when you boot something on the haktara, that is something that is not ra'oi l'achila. As Rashi already noted before, achila is associated with basar, haktara is associated with emurim, the gomen zbeach. That means that the Mishnah is disqualifying a case where you have a chatzik zayit in mind of achilat basar, and a chatzik zayit when you have in mind that it's haktarat emurim. Because achila and haktara don't come together. But that means if you had a machshava of achilat basar, chatzik zayit, and an achilat chatzik zayit of emurim, that would work, because then you would have achila and achila, and that would work. And that's what the Gemara just said. That if you said, lechol davar she'darko lechol, and lechol davar she'ein darko lechol, they would be mitzareif. Ha'kani reisha. Then the Mishnah opened with the fact, lechol et she'darko lechol, et she'darko lechol in, she'ein darko lechol lo. We already were medayik out of the reisha earlier in the perek, that the reisha of that Mishnah was authored by the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say that only something that is ra'oi l'achila has a din in pigul. Something that's not ro'i l'achila is not have a din in pigul. And that's how the Mishnah opened. Etche darko lechol. Things that are normally eaten. If you have in mind to eat things that are normally eaten, that is a problem of pigul when you have a machshava about it. Ulaktir dvarim shedarko laktir. And to have in mind about akhtara, about things that are normally muktar on the mizbeah. But then we said that means that if you cross them over, it would not work. If you have akhila about something that goes on the mizbeah, or you have akhtara about something that's akhilat adam, they would not work, and that's like the position of the Chachamim. This tiyuk at the latter part of the Mishnah would be, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Hamani, Rabbi Eliezeri. The latter half of the Mishnah is Meduyak now, like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you can have a Makshir Achila about something that goes on Mizbeach, about Eimurim. Damar, Mechashvim, Achilat Adam, Achilat Mizbeach, Mechalat Mizbeach, Achilat Adam. That would make it that this part of the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer, because it's saying you can have Achmein of Achilat Adam about something that's Achilat Mizbeach. That's what Rabbi Eliezer, who argues on the Chachamim, says you can cross Makshavot. That's not. And this is the Mishnah we quoted back on Kaf Chet. Hashochetet Azevach lechol davar she'ein dakor lechol ulaktir davar she'ein dakor laktir kasher. So that's the Chachamim's position. If you shech the Zevach with having in mind to eat something that is not normally eaten, or to be maktir, something that's not normally muktar, kasher. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer here says it's pasol. And again, Rashi, in explaining what it means, davar she'ein dakor lechol, and davar she'ein dakor lechil, is crossovers between haktara and achila. So dakor lechol is basar, ein dakor lechol is emurim. Dakor haktara is emurim, ein dakor lechil is basar. So now, what will turn out to be interesting is, if you go back to the Gemara in Kof Chet, we had three Mishnayot. Over there, Shmuel wanted to suggest that the Mishnah there was authored by Rabbi Eliezer. That means this Mishnah has at the beginning of it the authorship of the Chachamim, and at the end it's Rabbi Eliezer. So means you have Rabbi Eliezer, Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, which is obviously a difficult explanation. And that's why there were two other opinions there in the Gemara, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, who disagreed with Shmuel's position. And now you have Abaye who's rejecting the idea here that it's Rabbi Eliezer. In the essence, what they want to do is make it consistent that the Mishnayot are all authored by the Chachamim. Abaye Amar, Afilu Teima Rabbonon. Lo teima, don't be midayik, halechol, velechol, davar she'ein darko lechol, eleima halechol, ulechol, davar she'ein darko lechol. That the deal you made out of the Mishnah is, the problem here is achila and haktara. That's what the problem is. You say, well, if you had achila and achila like this, it would work. What does it mean, like this? So we assume like this means exactly like this. Achila v'chatzi zayit pasar, and achila v'chatzi zayit of emurim. That's what we assume. He says, that's the wrong assumption. What it means is that you have to have a chatzi zayit of achila and a chatzi zayit of achila of basar, and they'll be mitzdareif. Gemara says, my kamash malon. What's the chiddush that comes out of this? Tosfot in the end says, what do you mean, my kamash malon? Why is there a question here that if you're mitayik, lechol, lechol, why is that a deal that is not valuable? We already had a bayit, give us two different things above that were valuable. He says, tema, tuba kamash malon, ke didayik abayit gufi leel, lechol, lechol, v'shnei b'nei adam, u'yet mekteyach ila pras. There are plenty of diukim that you can make out of here, even if you keep it as achila and achila of davar shetarko lechol. So why is the Gemara so perplexed as to what the big chiddush is over here? If you make it that it's a chatzi zayit of darko lechol and a chatzi zayit of darko lechol, we already came up with numerous types of chidushim that the Gemara introduced. And there it's a little strange that the Gemara is here searching for a chiddush in that statement, even though we already gave numerous chidushim before. My kamash malon. What are you teaching us? What type of chiddush? Ik davar shedarko lechol kamash malon. If you want to tell me that you're teaching me that when it's darko lechol, two chatzi kazeitin can be mitzdareif, that when it's something that's normally eaten, that a chatzi zayit and a chatzi zayit are mitzdareif, mereishas ma'inyav, that we already know from the ratio of the Mishnah, ke chatzi zayit b'chutz, ke chatzi zayit demachar pasul. If you have a half zayit of machshevet chutz l'zmano, and a half zayit of machshevet chutz l'mkomo, then that is pasul. That it's because you had a machshav of chutz l'mkomo and a machshav of chutz l'zmano, chatzi zayit of each, they're mitzdareif to make it pasul. But what you would have been dying from that is, ha, kechatzi zayit lemachar, pigul. Had he had a machshav of a chatzi zayit lemachar and a chatzi zayit lemachar, it would have been pigul. So I don't need you to teach me that. Ilechol laktir, if you're already coming to teach me that achila and aktara are not mitzdareif, if that's the whole point of it, don't look at the diuk. It's not the deal that it's coming to teach you. Come to the Ikar Locha, that Achila and Akhtara are not mitzdareif. Vituki the Reishash Maminat. That you already could have learned out of the Mishnah. Lechol davar shetarko lechol in, shein darko lechol lo. Because that you would be mitayik out of the fact the Mishnah says, only things that are normally eaten are mitzdareif. That if it's something that's normally eaten, basar, then it is mitzdareif. If it's something that's not normally eaten, emurim, they are not mitzdareif. Hashto malechol belechol davar shein darko lechol lo mitzdareif. When you both have two achilat adam, one achilat adam of basar and achilat adam of emurim, they are not mitzdareif. Lechol aktir mitboi, You have to teach me about Achila and Akhtara, which are totally different worlds. The fact that they're not mitzterev, it's obvious from the Reisha that if Achilat Basar and then Achilat Emurim cannot be mitzterev, then certainly Achilat Basar and Akhtarat Emurim cannot be mitzterev. Why else would you need the statement that Achilat and Akhtarat are not mitzterev, Elim Kane, for the diuk that comes out of it? And your diuk isn't helpful at all. Your diuk is, oh, it has to be Achila and Achila. What do you mean? Achila and Achila of two chetzi kazeitim? That we know from the Reisha. That Akhtarat and Achila, not mitzterev, we know from the Reisha. He says, no, it's trich, that is not true. The problem in having machshava l'chilat basar and achilat emurim is the fact that the achilat emurim is improper. So you have achilat basar, which is a right machshava, but achilat emurim, which is a problematic machshava. They're both problematic machshavot, but one is about a normal thing that you would do with it. The other one is not a normal thing. But achilat basar is normal, and achilat emurim is normal. Maybe the emel itzdarev. If you have a machshava about achilat basar and akhtarat emurim, but you're doing the right thing with each item, maybe that machshava will be besul. Kamash balan, that's not it. And so then it's not the diuk that you're getting out of it. It's actually the statement itself that achilat and akhtarat not mitzdareif. That's the chiddush of the statement. And the diuk itself is not what you're after. You're after that statement itself. And therefore you're not middayek that davar she'en darko le'achol is mitzdareif. And that means it's not like Rabbi Eliezer, but rather like the chachamim. Because now we're not saying that achila of something that is normally eaten and achila of something that's not normally eaten can be mitzdareif, as opposed to achila and akhtara. We're saying achila and akhtara themselves are the chidush here, that they're not mitzdareif. Therefore, the Mishnah could even be according to the Rabbanon, and that helps us keep a consistent attribution or authorship through the Mishnah of the Rabbanon, rather than introducing Rabbi Eliezer, whether it's according to Shmuel in the beginning of the Mishnah earlier in the Perek, or according to Rabbi Yirmiyah over here, that Rabbi Eliezer is the author of this piece of the Mishnah. In both cases, we were able to come up with ways to explain it, that it is the Rabbanan over here. Okay, we're going to stop here at the end of the Perek on Lamed Aleph, Amud Bet.